The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pains." This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, not too long ago, someone asked me, "Does the Bible say we have to go to church?" And she said she used to go to church, but she got discouraged because people argue and disagree at church as much as they do anywhere else. She said she decided she'd rather pray by herself and just try to be a good person. So that might be true. That is true. But why is it important for us as Christians to come together? Why shouldn't a person of faith try to go it alone? I mean, that method would certainly be less complicated sometimes, wouldn't it? Why do we as a church, why do we as this church, St. Mark Lutheran Church in Lacey, Washington, why do we need each other? Why do we? To support one another? In our scripture reading, the letter to the Hebrews, that letter was written to people who were asking this very question. These hard questions. They were tired. They were discouraged. They were frustrated. They were trying to live a life of faith in a culture that didn't support it. They were discouraged at the way evil and sin persisted, not just in the world, but also in the church. They thought, shouldn't we be better than this? Worship attendance was falling. Passion for mission and ministry was waning. And the loving compassion that the community felt for one another was starting to fade. They questioned the value of following Christ. Did it make a difference? Well, the author of Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 25 tells us, "And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Why do we need to meet together, according to this? To encourage each other and to provoke one another to love and good deeds. And we live in a bad news world, don't we? Yeah. We live in a world of worry and war, a world of division and disasters, a world of sorrow and sin. And like the Hebrew people, we too can sometimes feel tired and discouraged. We maybe even begin to wonder if living a life of faith makes any difference. We really do need each other. We need each other to encourage one another. And yes, we know all too well, sometimes this gets complicated because we're not perfect people. people, are we? At least I'm not. We're sinners, to be sure. Sometimes we disagree, and we're not always the most gracious about it. We say and do things we shouldn't, and we don't say and do things we should. We're a community of imperfect human beings, just like everyone else in the world. But we're also the church. We are the people of God who need each other. We need each other because God made us this way. It's God's fault. God made us as relational beings. And faith by nature is a relationship. Faith is a relationship with God. That's what faith is, a relationship. Faith also has very much to do with our relationships with one another, especially how we relate to one another in difficult times, times of difference, times of disaster, times of division. As Jesus was walking into the temple with his disciples on that day, he knew that his days were numbered. Things were getting difficult, and they were going to only get even more difficult. A disciple points out how big and amazing the temple is, how large and strong and immovable these grand buildings were. And Jesus uses that as a teaching moment to remind his followers that things are going to get difficult in the days and months and years and centuries to come. There's going to be things like difficulties and dangers and disasters. There will be threats and turmoil. And even the huge temple, the grand structure that was believed to be the closest point, that closest point of contact between God and God's people, even that temple will be destroyed. As these difficult things begin happening, Jesus wanted his followers to have faith, to be encouraged, to have hope that no matter what happens, God is at work. God is at work in the world. God is at work in them. He reminds them and he reminds us that the temple as a building was not the center of God's work in this world, but that we as the church, as the people, are the center and the heart of God's work in this world. This is why the Bible tells us to meet together. This is why we need each other, to be that heart, because if we don't come together, that heart is not complete. We come together not just to go to church, but to be the church, to live lives as the body of Christ in the world today. You know, we're told in the Bible that our bodies are temples of the holy. And because of this, people experience the love of God through the things that we say and do. But just like that temple in Jerusalem, our bodies are not immovable. We grow weary, we grow tired, we grow discouraged, sometimes we get upset. We question. We need to be encouraged. And the letter to the Hebrews reminds us that this encouragement is not just about making us feel good. It's about continuing to do good in this world, to provoke one another to love and good deeds, to be the church, to be stirred from wanting simply to feel loved to actually live that love in our lives. There is no question that we live in unsettling times. Times when there's wars and rumors of wars, when there's suffering and destruction, when there's injustice and when there's pain. These things, quite honestly, should unsettle us. Let this unsettling provoke you. Maybe even incite you, exasperate you, anger you, and enrage you. Because isn't that what provoke means? And provoke is not a, oh, let's provoke one another. Provoke is, it's an intense word. Let that unsettling provoke you into truly loving one another, to reaching out with this love as we serve God and love God by loving our neighbors, as we remember the poor, as we take care of the widows, as we house the homeless and feed the hungry, as we welcome the stranger, as we become a voice for those who are voiceless. You know, the truth is God is not finished yet. God's not finished with us or with our world. We live in an in-between time, a time of chaos and creation. And that in-between time is a messy place. And it takes a lot of encouragement. It takes a lot of love. It takes a lot of forgiveness. It takes a lot of grace. Jesus tells us that the pain of this messy place are birth pains. And we need each other, almost like labor coaches. We need each other to encourage one another and remind each other that God continues to birth each one of us and all of creation into something new. Our comfort in the midst of all this is knowing that in the end, as in the beginning, and all of the in-between, that all of creation, including us, belongs to God. And we belong to each other. Because that's how God made us to be. We are the church. We are Christ's body in this world. Thanks be to God. Amen.